Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of the Yard. And it's even more magnificent this Monday because it's game week. Yeah, we had our first Monday presser of college football season today with Coach Jeff Levy. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. First segment, we're going to break down the depth chart, the two-deep chart for game one against ULM. Got a cool top 10 list. I didn't even put it together. A rock legend did. Somebody sent this to me, and it is fabulous. So we're going to let a rock legend top 10 be on the show today. So someone wrote to him, said, what are the 10 most influential songs? He wrote them down in his handwriting. We will defer to his expertise for our top 10 today. Super cool, man. Somebody sent that to me over the weekend. I was like, dude, this is absolutely going to be our Monday top 10. There's no question about it. Then, of course, we'll get into some things Jeff Labby had to say. We'll get into some things that ULM coach Brian Vinson had to say. And who knows what else we may get into today. You know, what's interesting, too, one of the things that I have tried to caution people about is in this legal climate in which we currently exist, is not to ever assume anything as final, right? Ever. Probably the closest we came to finality was the SEC prohibition on pro players. And that'll be litigated later this week. But, so some, you know, self-serving attorneys, they go to Twitter and they get quoted in these articles and things like that and get all these great feelings of self-importance. And then everybody thinks, oh, well, there it is. Well, no, it's not. As we have learned it today, and we're going to thank Mississippi State alum Ross Dellinger for a big scoop. If you don't follow Ross Dellinger on Twitter, you certainly should. Not just because he is a Bulldog alum, but because he is at the top of his game. No question about it. Got to love Ross Dellinger, man. But Ross put out a story earlier today with Yahoo about how the SEC, the presidents of the SEC, are taking some dramatic steps to prevent LSU and Lane Kiffin from finding a way to play with professional players this year. And there's been some developments too, right? And you wonder too, is like, is some of that saber rattling ahead of this preliminary injunction hearing that's set for the 3rd, which is Thursday? You wonder if maybe the SEC is not playing a little hardball here. It's like, hey, cool, you may be able to do this, but, you know, we've got some weapons at our disposal, and we might even kick LSU out of the league. And you would say, oh, still, they never would. You know, they kicked Ole Miss out one time. Many of you don't know that story. If you read the dude, you know the story. Ole Miss was kicked out of the league for, guess what, playing professional players. Yeah. Way back in the Duty Noble era when he was a player here, Ole Miss got kicked out of the league. They didn't do it once, but twice. They had ringers on their team, and they got kicked out of the league. If you go back and look and see, we didn't play him for 3 years. And then finally in 1915, Duty Noble finally got his chance to get those bad actors on the field, and we beat them 65-0. It's true. Took out 3 years of frustration on them. But anyway, so yeah, there is precedent. While it's been over 100 years ago, this is an unprecedented situation because these are unprecedented times in the modern era. But there's a lot of things that are going on. And, it's just interesting how all this stuff kind of plays out. But just what we, you know, what we think we know today and believe to be true may not be true tomorrow. And so we, again, I've addressed some of this stuff, but again, don't assume anything until there is some finality in this. But, you know, the thing that I think about, right, we always talk about following the money. Who do you think has more money when it's all said and done? The Southeastern Conference? or the plaintiffs in this Louisiana TRO. Now, yeah, they could probably, you know, raise some money with LSU donors. But really, let's be honest, how much of a difference are a couple of players going to make? Is it really worth that kind of investment? And is it really worth playing chicken with the league, the most powerful league in all of collegiate sports? LSU, you know, might be a great fit for the Big 12. I think in the end of it all, that LSU is going to back down. That's my feeling. But that's the thing. When you come out and you're so overly aggressive, and then you've got people that are out here trying to shape the social media narrative, you kind of get painted into that because you're the one that benefits from it. And then, of course, now there's all this talk about there were some bets made with Kalishi to try to offset any potential loss for LSU in the excess of like $3 million. Then there's this talk about that LSU allegedly encouraged pro players to sue the NCAA so they could come to LSU. It is a tangled web, to say the least. And I don't think that the Southeastern Conference or the NCAA are just going to look the other way, even if they get a favorable ruling on Thursday. I don't think this is over. I don't think you can go poke the bear and then just walk away unscathed. I think there is something that is afoot here. And if LSU was smart, and I don't know that anybody can assume that, but if everybody kind of works together here in Baton Rouge and says, hey, what is best for us? Well, what's best for us is, hey, we already got a really good football team. Let's go play football. Let's don't go out here and cause problems for ourselves. That's the smart play. There are other people, of course, that will say, oh, we can't back down. There are sometimes you're outgunned and out-resourced and out-lawyered. And this is one of them. And if you don't believe me, just play chicken and find out. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company for always sponsoring this show. Man, I love them. And I loved them before they loved me. It's not a contest, but I tell you, I was a customer before we had a business arrangement. And loved it, man. And still frequent that establishment on a regular basis. Sometimes we get it to go. And that's one of the things, too, that I think kind of separates Bulldog Burger Company from a lot of other eating establishments in the area. They've kind of perfected the to-go order. Last thing you want, you get off work, you're in a hurry, and you got to get some food to go and get home, and you just want to relax and watch your favorite show, and then you unbox it, it's a complete mess. Well, that's just not the case with Bulldog Burger Company. And maybe it was, you know, the COVID epidemic that caused them to kind of experiment and kind of perfect it, but I love the fact that we can get it to go, and you get it home, and it's still restaurant quality. Find your own favorites on their menu. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, go with the Bulldog. Can't go wrong with that. It's a good straight-ahead rock and roll American hamburger. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. And right before you ask for the check, maybe tell them you want that Nutella shake to go. And you can ride that ride home with a smile. So three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, let's take a look at this too deep. Now, first thing I'm going to tell you, a depth chart is kind of for entertainment purposes only, okay? And what I mean by that is, you know, we've had some situations. Remember a couple years ago when Trent Hudson was listed as, like, first-team receiver and then, like, didn't play? Like, his dad gets on social media and complains. And, yeah, hey, I get it, right? Because you see something come out officially from Mississippi State and you think this is – the coach filled this thing out. Well, they have some input, but I can tell you, when Mike Leach ran the show – that was probably, like the 1,000 things that he needed to do, that was probably 998. It just simply didn't matter. I mean, like, he put walk-ons in on the two deep. I mean, just to kind of mess with people. It's true. It's what he did. So I share that. This is probably pretty good framework for your expectations. But, again, it's not written in stone. All right, starting with the quarterback, a shocker here as we break news, Kamario Taylor, QB1, We talked early in camp that we thought Rashada was making a push and that his camp went. Levy said, you know, Puckett and Swan have kind of gotten the lion's share of the second team reps. We've seen some good video of A.J. Swan. Our creative team does a great job kind of putting that stuff out there. But number two is Billy or A.J. Or A.J. Rashada not listed. The running back position, no surprise here, Fluff Bothwell. And Levy reiterated today, you're going to see a lot of Colin and Xavier Gayton. They're listed or for the number two spot. And he did kind of, you know, expand, you know, J.J. and Coop are going to be involved with some things too. But by and large, we're going with guys with a little more experience under their belt, at least in game one. Now, this may be our first surprise on offense. Zion Reagans listed as the number one receiver at his position. He beats out Aiden Williams. And Aiden Williams is a young man, too, who's been a little bit banged up as of late, too. That may have played a factor. And then there's Zion Crumpton, a true freshman. How about that? I mean, you know, hey, there's no redshirt year anymore, so you're not protecting anybody. But the fact that he shows up on the two deep, even though it's the three deep for him, it's pretty good numbers there. Zion Reagans, of course, a guy that in many respects kind of takes on that Vernon Thompson role. And he is a guy, too, you got to be careful kind of fading him across the middle because he's not the biggest guy. Because across in the face of the safety could be an interesting proposition. You really want him to get outside, and if he gets a good release, he's going to outrun everybody. He can make plays outside the numbers. At the slot receiver position, Anthony Evans. Now, and of course, we're going to move him around. But one of the things of putting him in the slot is you can bring him in motion. And you can get him on the run, kind of give him a head start, too, on some of those out routes. But Ant's going to be the team one slot receiver. Just behind him is Grayson Harris, a young man that was a late signee last year. Big news when we got him. And he's gotten – they call him G-Baby, for those of you that keep up with such names. But Grayson Harris, a young man, there's a lot expected of. And then Camden Capehart, your fastest kid in Texas, running number three in the slot. Basically, at the X receiver, Samfrisco McGee beats out Marquise Johnson. And then there's Matt Mayfield, of course, the big receiver from Colin. But Frisco is a guy, too, that, you know, we signed him and he felt he had a really high ceiling. It's taken some time for him to kind of figure this thing out. But we don't have a lot of people with his build. As you guys know, a lot of times we go get these speedy, quick receivers, you know, that can make people miss in the open field. But you got to have somebody to be that big body guy on third down when you throw the 50-50 ball and go up and take ownership. And that's Frisco. Of course, he had a couple big plays there in the Mayo Bowl, too. So not a huge surprise there. But, you know, you bring in Marquise Johnson from Missouri expecting him to win that position. And lo and behold, Samfrisco wins it. The tight end is Sam West, and then Skip right behind him. Skip's gotten a lot of praise too, not just from the tight end's coach, but really just kind of around the program as a guy that really works hard. So that's going to be your tight ends, and then the offensive line pretty much goes the way that we have projected it to go. Miles McVay or Blake Steen. Now, Jeff Levy said that Miles would be good to go after the speeding ticket incident. I do expect it to be Miles McVay. And Steen is really more of a right tackle kind of play and left, so it'll be interesting to see how that kind of plays out. But I do think it'll be Miles McVay with the first team unit on the first drive. And then there's DJ Chester at left guard. Following behind him is Jamari Freeman, who is a late addition from Mercer. And then Jalen Matthews, who is a guy that we really think may end up playing tackle when it's all said and done, but here he is working at guard. And maybe that's to kind of get him up to speed at guard, and then maybe next year he slides out to tackle. We'll see. No real surprise here. Cannon Boone, your first team center, and then Dalton Toothman, very talented freshman from Van Cleve, Mississippi, is going to be your second team center. That's something we've been talking about on Gene's page for a while. The right guard spot, L.J. Prudhomme. No surprise there. And then T.J. Lockhart, the primary backup at right guard. And I think that's a good thing, too. That's a massive human being, but he's also kind of gotten into shape. And at right tackle, Jakeem Shumpert-Perkins, a guy that can play either side, is more maybe skilled to be right tackle, and he wants to play right tackle, so that's a part of it. And then there's Isaiah Dent or Saquon Miles. You may recall 2 years ago, Saquon Miles was a guy that, you know, we beat Ole Miss for, and at the time he was one of the highest-rated offensive linemen in the JUCO ranks. Just hadn't come on for him yet. And so what's interesting, you know, we go spend all this money in the portal. Football is back, and thank goodness for that. My friends over at Prize Picks bringing out their best offer to date. New users who sign up will get $150 in lineups. That's if you win your first $5 lineup. It's pretty simple. If you win your first $5 lineup, you get $150 in lineups. And now, Prize Picks is available nationwide. So what you waiting for? Lock in for kickoff, because everyone and everything is on Prize Picks. So what are you guys excited about this football season? I think the Steelers are going to be better than many people expect. I'm all over that aspect of it. I think that Steelers defense is going to kind of return to form. I think Pittsburgh's going to make a run at this thing in the AFC North. Maybe you see things a little bit differently, but you need to get in the game and get some skin in the game with me on Prize Picks. Now, Prize Picks is going crazy with the deals to start football season. They're just as excited as you and I are. They're giving you this new promo every day during a very stacked September. Make sure to sign up now for guaranteed picks every Sunday, along with profit boosts and daily discounts throughout the entire month. Plus, the app is very simple to use, and it's very user-friendly. You just pick 2 to 6 players and then pick more or less on their projected stats like pass yards, rush yards, fantasy score. It's the best way to get more locked in on game day. You can make all the picks you want across any sport, all in the very same app. Download the app today and use code BONEYARD to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, if you could wake up tomorrow and just be better at one thing, what would it be? You know? Maybe it's less doom scrolling. Maybe it's more time with your family. Maybe it's making more time for the things that bring enjoyment. You know, I'm a bit of a workaholic, to be quite honest with you. You know, I could schedule some time to do some things away from the office. You know, and I think all of that helps me. I enjoy my work, but sometimes it's just simply good to get away. You know, better is a feeling, and it's really defined by you. And for BetterHelp, it's a BetterHelp therapist who really gets you. It's a focus on global emotional well-being with thousands of therapists and millions of members in over 100 countries. Well, it's progress. You know, and maybe it's getting better at making more time for yourself to do the things that you love. Sign up today and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. And you start putting this thing together about your starting 11, and it's mainly returners, with the exception of the offensive line. Again, Zion Reagans wins a job. Miles McVay should be the first team left tackle, but, you know, Blake Steen was with us last year, and he was hurt. DJ Chester, obviously, we get him from LSU. Then there's LJ Pruden. So 7 of your 11 starters on offense, projected starters, returning players. That says a little something to me, but that actually is an even bigger deal on defense. So we'll start with the Jack linebacker position, which is effectively the edge. Amari Williams has got that spot. We expected that. We went out and signed him for that. He had a relationship with Zach Arnett. Made a lot of sense. And then LaKendrick James is running second. It's second or Gus Cordova. The way that I've always seen that stuff, like, so this is not alphabetically, right? Because C becomes before J in the alphabet. If it was truly an or, Cordova would be listed first, okay? So basically how I read that to be is we're kind of talking to the players, kind of through the depth chart. So then you get to the tackle. DJ Reed, who has missed a lot of time in camp with a high ankle sprain, he should be good to go. or Trevion Williams. And then there's Calvin Dinkins. We're going to play a lot of guys. We really are. But the fact that DJ Reed, the guy that was underutilized at Auburn, comes in here and then really does some nice things last year and has now become a guy that we have him fighting for first-team designation, it's a good thing. Jare Bledsoe has kind of beefed up a little bit too. Listed as your starter at nose tackle. Then there's Daylon Evans, a huge guy that we got from Texas A&M. And then Diesel Moy. And then the defensive end, which is basically a five-tech, Will Whitson. And Jason Jenkins running second, of course, a guy from Florida State. At Mike linebacker, it's Jaylon Smith. And then just behind him is Fat Forrest. And we've heard so much about Fat Forrest, formerly the linebacker known as Fat Clark. And if you've seen him recently, you see how he has really embraced the nutrition and the weightlifting side of this thing. He looks great. And then there's A.J. Rice, another guy, too, that we signed, redshirted him last year, expecting some big things from him long term. And then there's the Will linebacker, Zachary Tillman, backed up by Tyler Lockhart. No real surprise there. Both of those guys will play a lot. The cornerback position, you know, Kelly's on one side. Backing him up is Kaleeb Singleton. On the other side is Jet Jefferson, another returner. You know, we go out and sign all these corners in the portal and have them come in and compete for the spot opposite Kelly Jones, and lo and behold, it's Jet Jefferson. I shared with you guys back in the spring, I had it from multiple sources, that Jet Jefferson had the best technique of any corner on the roster, including Kelly Jones. May not have the frame and the athleticism of Kelly, but Jet was the best technician. And Levy kind of confirms today, yeah, he's going to be number two. And Levy said it like it really wasn't a question. I said, Coach, who's going to start there? Well, Jet, you know, I mean, right? Behind him is Jamrock Grimsley and then Quentin Taylor. That's another or thing. At safety, we got JG. We expected that. Jordan Gilbert starting at safety. Backing him up is Duke Johnson or Braylon Womack. And again, you know, Tanner Johnson's a guy that's kind of been with us a little while, you know. And you're kind of getting him back in the fold, I guess, is a good thing, too. At safety, Marcus Williams. And this is one of those two. I think a lot of people may be surprised when they see that. Like, wait a minute. Marcus Williams? That's the kid from Rice. Yeah. And what you've heard from his defensive backmates is how consistent he is. You need some cerebral play back there. Not everybody can be a headhunter. You got to have some guys out there to help everybody get lined up. You know, that's Marcus. Not that he can't go out there and plant somebody in the ground. He can. And then backing him up is Dre Riley. Signed out of Northwest Mississippi Community College last year. And if you remember, you know, Dre committed to us and everybody's like, hey, why did we take this kid? I thought we were done with JUCO guys. And then lo and behold, a bunch of other teams offer him. Try to invite him in on an official visit. Everybody's like, hey, wait a minute. Well, make up your mind. Did you need other schools to offer him to validate your opinion? At some point, we got to trust our own coaches. And then, of course, the dog safety. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this position as it relates to the Louisiana Monroe game a little more once we get through this. But Isaac Smith is number one. And then there's Kendall Dolby backing him up. And one of the things I'm told about Dolby is we got to get a little more consistent. That he does some incredible things, and then sometimes he'll kind of lose his way out there. You know, so Isaac Smith, obviously the veteran. So we talked about 7 of 11 offensive starters are returners. Well, the numbers here on the defensive side, comparable, right? You got Amari Williams, you got JG, Jordan Gilbert, and then Marcus Williams, right? So it's 8. 8 of your 11 defensive starters are returners. And remember, we went out and signed a fortune. We spent a fortune in the portal. Now, granted, the competition makes everybody better, but I think it's one of those things, and yes, some of these guys like DJ Reed and Jare Bledsoe transferred in last year, along with Will Whitson and Jaylon Smith. And again, that's the benefit of getting guys with multiple years of eligibility left. They come in here and stay with you and find a home. And do some good things for you. But that's your depth chart. But this dog position is so important. And it's basically a box safety, right? And let me tell you how that equates a little bit to Louisiana Monroe. As we kind of talked the other day, they like to do some things formationally with their tight ends that create confusion. And you're going to need somebody, number one, that can cover one of those guys, but also, two, a guy that can take on that block. And the fact that they really want to run the football. They, like, guys, there was only 3 yards difference between their passing and offense and their rushing offensive averages last year. Just 3 yards difference. That's it. Incredibly balanced. But a lot of their passing game is basically an extension of the running game through play action. So you're going to need an intelligent player up here to kind of recognize what's happening. Have some play recognition. And I think this dog safety spot is going to be a huge part of this thing. Because, again, you know, Louisiana Monroe, as we talked about on Friday's show, they want to run the football, but, man, they lost so much in the running game. And they went out and signed some guys. You know, they did. Got the young man from Arkansas Tech, Bryson Rowland, and and then you go get Don Chaney Jr. They get a couple other guys, too, that really, you know, they've got potential. And they were, you know, highly recruited. And they've got some D1 experience, but they don't have a lot of carries. And so it'll be interesting to kind of see how much they can run. And as I was talking to somebody earlier, the right side of this offensive line for Louisiana Monroe is expected to be a strength on offense for them. They got A.J. Vincent out there that some believe is a pro prospect at right tackle. And then you got Reese there at right guard. A guy that played, you know, a handful of games last year. So they feel pretty good about that. They got the center, of course, from Memphis to come in. It's the left side, and specifically left tackle. They got a returner there, but it's one of those situations where it's a first game for both teams, obviously. But it's really a patchwork offensive line. And, you know, our guys are still developing cohesion and chemistry, but you got a lot of snaps under their belt, right, with the exception of Jakeem Shumpert-Perkins, who, you know, people have argued that he's just a freak of nature. You know, we'll see. We're eager to see it, right? But I just think Zach Arnett against a patchwork offensive line where, you know, you got some guys that are back, four of their five returners, or four of their five starters, will be guys that have spent a year in the program. And we'll see how that plays out. But I just think that's the last defense I'd want to face. Now, they run some elements of the 3-3-5 too, and some 3-4 stuff, and they'll walk the outside backer down essentially as an edge in some situations. You know, we're going to see some of the same things. But the talent differential favors Mississippi State significantly. But I think they're going to have a tough time running the football. Again, an offensive line that's in transition and a backfield that is basically built from the ground up. And then two of the three guys that you signed from the portal from last year didn't even have a carry last year. One of them was out. Chaney was out for the year. And if you've kept up with Bryant Vincent, of course, they didn't do anything for 2 weeks. But Bryant Vincent, the coach from Louisiana Monroe, had said a couple times, I'm waiting to see somebody just kind of take ownership of that running back room. I'm waiting for somebody to emerge and kind of be the guy. That's for a team that wants to run the football. Halfway through camp, you don't know who your guy is going to be at running back. That's not a good thing. And they're going to rotate a lot. They're going to move some guys around. Of course, Vincent said today, talked about their depth. And, you know, that, and it's all relative, right? Compared to what they have had, yeah. But 2 years ago, they had Ahmad Hardy. He was basically an unknown. And, you know, one of the most attractive players in the portal. Goes up there and just destroys it at Louisiana Monroe. Hits the portal, goes to Missouri, leads the SEC in rushing. Right? So I'm going to give, you know, Coach Vincent some credit here for, number one, identifying running backs that fit his system and then finding a way to make them successful. And, again, they weren't a great running team last year. They were 61st in the country. So just kind of middle of the pack as a running team. And then all that's gone. All that production's gone. So it's a tough first assignment for them. And they, like, when you go back and look at Maltanto's history, a lot of RPO stuff. But Aiden Armenta rushed for like 60 yards on 57 carries last year. You have a quarterback, it's not a plus runner. And so in order to make the RPO work, you have to have people that respect the quarterback run. When you have a quarterback that is not a plus runner trying to run the RPO in his own read stuff, it just doesn't work because nobody falls for the fake. And number two, he's not athletic enough to burn somebody when they do. And so I just think this matchup really favors Mississippi State, especially defensively, because when you, again, you look at the talent that State has out there, and yes, it's a first game, and we're probably going to be pretty vanilla in this first game anyway, I would suspect. We should be able to just simply out-athlete them. I just don't think they're a team that's going to be able to score with any regularity. I'll be shocked if they do. But what I'm ready for, it's not just Will Whitson hitting somebody for a TFL. Not for a second and 12. You know, not them you're kind of running in some bubble action and you know, trying to get a guy to miss and then, you know, seeing Isaac Smith get downhill on somebody, you know, and making it third and 10, third and nine. That's what I'm waiting for. That third and nine play, when we bring pressure and you get a clean run at the quarterback, and everybody in Davis Wade knows it's fixing to happen, and you're just kind of holding your breath, waiting for impact. And the next thing you know, the quarterback's struck from behind, and then the ball's rolling loose on the turf. That's what I'm waiting for. And it all works together. You know, you got to win on first down. You know, to put them in, kind of in conflict on second down, and then put them in third and long, and then let the dogs hunt, right? Unleash the hounds of hail on these guys. I don't think this game is going to be close, and we'll talk about it more on Friday. I put up a thread earlier. I'm picking this thing 42-10. And we're favored by 28.5. I think we're going to cover with some room to spare. But I also think, too, guys like Vincent doesn't expect to win this game. Now, granted, he was on that staff that beat us in 16 at South Alabama, right? True. But that was us. Wasn't them, it was us. We couldn't get out of our way. And I fault Dan Mullen for not settling the quarterback competition before game one. And then we decided we're going to go with Nick, right? We should have already done that, right? No offense to Damian. But you can't let the alternate series. And I know it's, you know, at the time it was one of the lower-rated FBS teams in the country, but we blew that. It's all us. But they're going to try to play some ball control stuff. They truly are. And that's the thing, too, that I think as we get into this second half, they're going to get beat down or they're going to quit. That's my feeling, that they're going to get beaten down and then we'll be able to kind of run at will. And I think Colin Wilson and those guys will be able to stretch your legs a little bit in that fourth quarter. And then we'll have a chance to kind of empty the bench a little bit and get some of those younger guys their first college carries. But, yeah, kind of working through this depth chart. Again, I'm the emphasis to me is on the fact that, number one, roster retention – and the fact that you got, you know, 15 of 22 starters that were with your program last year. You know, when's the last time we could say that, right? Just we've been on the NCAA transfer portal hamster wheel for a while. And, again, great job by our staff to retain players of needs at key positions and then get the benefit of that second year out of them. And hopefully maybe some of them will be back for a third year. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler, my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And since we're all friends, you deserve to have his phone number. It's 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. You're going to need it at some point. Right? Because life's going to throw you a curveball, or maybe you're just advancing in life. Maybe you've outgrown your current home and it's time to get everybody their own bedroom. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you had that starter home. Maybe you've added a couple of kids. You need a little more room to spread out. Blair can help you with that. He can. Save that number on your phone as Mortgage Guy. You may forget the name. You won't forget the need. And when you need him, you already have his phone number. 25 years of experience in the mortgage industry. He knows how to get things done to give you the best chance of approval when so many others can't. Yeah, he knows the ins and outs of underwriting. So whether it's your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo that you've always dreamed of, hit up Blair Chandler at closetheblair.com, a bulldog through and through and licensed to practice in multiple states. Be sure to hit him up and get that pre-qualification letter and send your real estate agent into orbit, finding you the perfect home. All right. Friend shared this with me, and I think it's great. I think it's great. Never did I think we'd have this. I mean, this is a momentous occasion in the history of the Boneyard. We got a top 10 list constructed by the late, great Ronnie Van Zant. How about that? Somebody wrote him a letter, and I don't know if it was a record company or, you know, whatever, you know, a radio station, but they asked him for Leonard Skinner's all-time top 10 list. The songs that, the question was, you know, songs that he felt were, you know, the most influential, you know, in life. And he noted, please note, these are not in any order of importance. They represent the 10 most influential songs in my music career, Ronnie Van Zant. But we're going to go through them in order. He's got them numbered, 10 through 1. So we're going to start, and again, thanks to the Leonard Skinner family, you know, for all they've done for us. Number 10, according to St. Ronnie, is Light My Fire from the Doors. We don't do a lot of Doors stuff on here, but it's no doubt they were an influential band. But Light My Fire from the Doors. Number 9, and there's Roy will have to find somebody. A lot of people have done this song. It is a traditional folk hymn, and he credits it to traditional. But it's Will the Circle Be Unbroken at number 9. Number 8, this is actually a cover, and a lot of people don't know that. We've talked about that extensively on the show a couple years ago. But it's Respect from Aretha Franklin. It's actually an Otis Redding song. Yeah, if you think about it, you know, from in those terms, from that era, you know, a little respect when I get home. You know, a lot of women didn't work back then. But let's be honest about it. Aretha Franklin made it a classic. Let's see here. Number 7 from Jimmy Reed. It's Big Boss Man at number 7. And again, courtesy of Leonard Skinner, lead singer. Number 6 is Can't Explain from The Who. And listen, I'm not a big Who guy. I like Roger Daltrey's voice just doesn't do it for me. I don't know what it is about them. There's just some songs that just kind of seem a little silly. But you know, Dave Murray's a big Who guy. So he was a little jacked when I sent this. The best cover of Can't Explain was done by the Scorpions as part of the Moscow Music Peace Festival. That came out, I guess, in 88. 89, maybe. It's difficult to get that record. If you can get your hands on it, it's outstanding, though. Not available on the iTunes. Stairway to Heaven, Highway to Hell. It was you know, a record put together to help raise money for chemical dependency centers. All right, number 5. If We Make It Through December from Merle Haggard at number 5. You know, Merle Haggard had a lot of driving and crying type songs. That's one of them. Number 4 on Ronnie's list, What I'd Say from Ray Charles. You talk about a list of diversity here. You know, different genres, a lot of different eras represented. Of course, it's from Ronnie's era. Number 3, and this will make some other people happy too. It's an amazing song. Yesterday from the Beatles at number 3. Because Yesterday, My Troubles Seem So Far Away. And that movie is great. Like, what's so interesting? I took Ian to see Yesterday, my youngest, that works at Bulldog. And he became like a Beatles fanatic after that. And they do that Spotify thing. He was the number one Beatles listener on the Mississippi State campus last year, something that he's awfully proud of. Number two, and probably the quintessential Rolling Stone song, but it's Satisfaction at number two. I can't get no satisfaction. Can't get no girly action. And number one, actually making the list twice, is Doc of the Bay from Otis Redding. As we mentioned, you know, Respect was actually an Otis Redding joint, but Doc of the Bay at number one. That's Ronnie Van Zant from Lynyrd Skynyrd's Top 10. And that, what an honor, man, to actually to have that. I don't know where this document came from. I don't know how it was made public, but I'm happy that we have it. And it's in Ronnie Van Zant's handwriting, or what I assume is his handwriting. And it's signed by Ronnie. And it's written in pencil on a piece of paper. And you can see where it was folded. So what a cool piece of memorabilia there. So there you go. How about that? Some of the biggest names in rock and roll, of course, you know, will the circle be unbroken? Again, a lot of people have covered that. You know, they used to be like kind of a jam session song at the Grand Ole Opry. Let's just look up here, you know, just to see. Will the circle be? Bill and Gloria Gaither did it. How about that? Let's see here. Let's see who did this. It's a popular Christian hymn, and it was written in 1907 by Ada R. Habershon with music from Charles H. Gabriel, making their Boneyard debut. And it said, the song is often recorded and unattributed because of its age. It's lapsed into the public domain. Most of the chorus appears in later songs, Can the Circle Be Unbroken, and Daddy Sang Bass. So there you go. That's super cool, man. And a lot of versions of this thing, for sure, as you guys are aware. The Carter family reworked it. Are you big fans of the Carter family? They reworked it and called Can the Circle Be Unbroken. And then Mother Maybelle Carter and the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band did a version of this thing. But man, I mean, there's several versions of this thing. And there's even a parody called Will the Turtle Be Unbroken by Les Barker. Did you know that? A lot of silliness. But yeah, it's been, you know, George Jones and John Lee Hooker and Bob Dylan, Shocking Blue, Greg Allman had on his first solo album. Neville Brothers have done it. Avid Brothers, that'll make Roy happy. Richie Havens did it. But nevertheless, yeah, so there you go. Something I never thought we'd have, right? We'd have access to something like this. It's a super cool thing. But you never know what you're going to get on a top 10 list. You don't. You never know. And we've had a lot of great suggestions here as of late. We'll get to those. Some of them have kind of tickled my fancy a little bit. And I tell you, I still begin, because I know some of you guys, like, you don't listen to the show immediately. Some people are like, hey, I'm a couple Boneyards back. But I've had some people that have reached out about the corporate rock segment that we did and said, Steve, I found that stuff so fascinating. Do you have some more stuff? Well, matter of fact, I do. And it kind of changes a little bit, too, because at the end of the day, and listen, that one of the best things about the recording industry today is, like, anybody can do it. Like, any one of us, if we have the money, can go download Pro Tools to our home PC. Like, I record this show on MixPad, right? So, which is, you know, a lot of people use that to create music. And so you can download all the software, and you can order some really nice microphones and get some studio equipment, and you can record an album right in your home. And you can also upload it to iTunes and Spotify without having a record company's permission. Now, it's going to be difficult to get it played, but you can do it, right? You can do it. But years ago, it was difficult to do that sort of stuff. But in some respects, that's kind of broken the stranglehold that some of the record companies had on the industry. But the flip side of it is, as we've talked about, it's kind of the same principle of the old payola thing, where they'll tell a band, hey, we're going to feature this song, but we're going to take all the rights to streaming it. And then artists just go along with it, because if they don't, then the record company just buries the track. And so they need the publicity, because when the more times that songs are promoted, the more likely you are to go see them play live, or Maybe you download an album, or maybe you buy some merchandise. And so they see music now as marketing, where it used to be the actual art form. It's tough. I share with you guys too. You know, I got a lot of friends in music, and I went to Little Rock, and a few years ago, Dan and I went. A friend of mine said, "I won't tell you the name of the band because I don't want to embarrass them." He's like, "Dude, I know you need some new merch." I was like, "Dude, I've got all these shirts." And he's like, "I think you need some Christmas gifts." And I was like, "Dude, is that bad?" He goes, "Dude, I don't know if we got enough gas money to get to the next show, right?" And that's in a packed house, right? It was a packed house at the show. And I'm thinking, dude, how does this happen? Well, the promoter pays them, their booking fee, and then the rest of their money comes from selling merch. You know, that's how it works. You go book a band for $5,000 and then you keep the door. There's a lot of people out there that may have a deal where they get a portion of the door, but that's not really the case. Usually you just go pay the booking fee and take care of the writer, and they show up and play you a show. Whatever money you make on it, you make on it. But it's an interesting dynamic, and it's like why you don't see bands like, Slaughter and other people that make music. And you would say, well, Steve, it's so simple to do. Why don't they do it? Well, where's it going to get played? On the Eddie Trunk show? On Hair Nation? Like one time? Is that what's going to happen? There's no album-oriented rock stations anymore. You know, we got 99 Fox down here. They do a good job, right? But are they going to play brand new music from Tesla? Nah, it's not going to happen. And so everybody's playing the hits, or they're playing like the new stuff. Like I had something earlier somebody sent me about Bad Omens, about them and bands like Sleep Token, are kind of polarizing. And we've talked about this kind of stuff before. It's like there's a lot of people out there that just don't like things for the sake of not liking them to get engagement. There are a lot of rage baiters on social media. Maybe you've noticed. But but it's like I think to myself, there's no way that you can say that these bands are terrible. Now, you can say you don't like them. And the Ashes for New tweet that was sent to me, I responded to from Ashes to New. That's what that's where the premise of this discussion comes from. But you can like whatever you want to like. I just, to me, like, my whole thing about music is I don't know what moves you. I know what moves me. And when I find stuff that kind of fits the mood I'm in or improves my mood or maybe helps me deal with an emotion that maybe I've repressed or whatever, it's beneficial. And maybe that doesn't happen for you. I got some friends, man, like they don't ever listen to rock music or even top 40 or rap or anything. They're just country music people all the way. And I just don't understand the appeal. And he says, it's just down-home music. It's very relatable for me. And you know what? I can't begrudge anybody of that. I think a lot of it sounds the same. That's just my feeling. But I would never dismiss, you guys know I think Nirvana sucks. But if you listen to that stuff and it puts you in a better headspace, then man, God bless you. That's how I feel about it. You don't need liking thing just because I like it. I'm not conducting a poll anyway. What do you guys think I should listen to next? I'm not doing that. It's what happens in life. And but I tell you what, along those lines, we talk, a lot about life and about music and how things push you and that sort of stuff. I was having a conversation with somebody over the weekend. I guess what's today, Monday? Yeah, over the weekend. About this kind of sort of stuff, it's amazing to me the things that some people do that wreck their lives and the lives of others. I mean, honestly. And so much of that comes from, feelings of depression and self-worth. It's like, it comes from a position of pain. But like the old adage, hurt people. It's true. There are just so many things out there. And it's like, there'll be people that'll be, everybody will say, this is not a healthy relationship with you. Well, no. Now we got to prove everybody wrong, right? No. And in your heart, it's not a great relationship. It's not beneficial. It can be abusive, and I hate to use the buzzword toxic, right? But at the end of the day, it could be a relationship that basically clips your wings and takes away your ability to fly as a person. And anytime that you got to be in a relationship, when you got to be half of yourself to be in a whole relationship, that's not a great relationship to be in. It's not even a full relationship, right? Any relationship that requires you to be less than who you really are is not a relationship you need to be in. There's some truth in that, right? And everybody, what happens is we get comfortable. It's like, oh my gosh, no. I'd rather, like the old adage, I'd rather have half a loaf than no bread at all. So I'll go get in a half-measured relationship so I'm not lonely. And there's a big difference between being alone and being lonely. And I think that's one thing about this newer generation. They have grown incredibly comfortable with being alone. And I don't know that's always a great thing, but I tell you this, it's a lot better than going out and getting in some half-measured relationship. And the next thing you know, you end up having kids and you introduce them to that level of toxicity, you know, and all of a sudden you got a kid growing up and the cycle repeats itself, grows up in a bad relationship, and next thing you know, it gets abusive, and that's what happens, you know. It's like the old Sam Kinison bit, and I love the Sam Kinison comedic stuff. I do. I think Sam Kinison would be hysterical today. And I know that he said some offensive things, okay? I'm not excusing that. But he talked about one time in a relationship because, you know, sometimes you just pull up at a red light and you just want to get out and run, right? I've been in those relationships before where it's like the thought of another day with this person just makes me feel awful, right? And the thing that I think about, the sad part about that is there's a lot of other people that have that feeling every day. Can you imagine? Every day, like you get up and you come home from work, they're already back. You know, it's like I just wanted to come home and have a little time to myself and better relax and prepare myself to have to deal with this bad relationship, right? And I can't even get that. As soon as I get off work, they're already there, right? And listen, I hear from a lot of people, and that's the saddest stuff I hear either involves two things. Kids, a lot of times kids that have found substance abuse in teenage years or whatever, that sort of stuff. That stuff, it always gets to me. I suspect it always will. And then people that are in these bad relationships where, like, there's just no joy in life, right? And like, you wonder, you know, so much. And I wrote about this in the randoms. Those of you who follow me on Facebook know I do that. I'm trying to be a little more regular with it. But, you know, we've lost a lot of people in my lifetime in recovery. And I know that I am the exception to the rule. And that's in no way to praise me. I'll take some of the credit for it, but of course, God's grace is sufficient. But, it was one guy in particular. I just remember, you know, I just remember this. And it struck me. It kind of goes back to the Bad Omens loop. And there's that song, Glass Houses. You know, I've seen the devil more than I've seen God. I heard that in a group setting one day. It's like a group meeting, you know, about spirituality. And, it, you know, they're talking about God. They're talking about a higher power concept. A lot of people can't kind of separate the two. In the beginning, I had to. You know, my higher power today is God as I understand him. And that's with a capital G. You know, God, you know, the Father, Son of Jesus Christ, and creator of the universe. And you don't have to agree with me. I'm convinced that I'm correct, but you don't have to agree with me. But, you know, I'm sitting here listening to this guy give his story. And, you know, he was abused as a child. You know, grew up in a fighting family where that was just accepted. You know, dad beat mom, you know, dad ran around on mom, mom ran around on dad. And of course, it was just more drama and disrespect. And it's like a lot of people say, man, I don't know how, Steve, how did you become a drug addict? You know, I can't believe that happened to you. And I know why. But when I hear this guy tell about this story, I think to myself, man, he never had a chance at life. Never. At any point did he have a chance at life. And sometimes that is the reality of it. And we can say what we want to. But a lot of those memories from childhood and on in our teenage years, they leave a lasting impression on us. And like a lot of times you repeat what's patterned for you. And so, of course, you know, people say, well, you know, I can't believe he became an addict. I just say, how could he not have become an addict? Are there just so much of that? And I don't want that for you. I don't. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I don't want you to live a life of pain. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't want to live a life beneath expectations. Well, maybe you expect too much, right? And I heard this lady say this at a meeting one time, and it's such a great visual to think about. And I've shared this with you guys before, but Like if we all got together and put all of our problems in a pile, and then when it came time, they said, hey, you got to go back and pick out three problems. Chances are you'd pick up the three problems that you already have because you've already built some coping skills. You're used to that level of pain, right? We wouldn't trade. We wouldn't. But I don't want that for you. I don't want you to live a life of pain. I don't want you to regret driving down your driveway and you see that that other person's vehicle's already in the garage and immediately your mood changes. You know, and there are people out there too that are abusive in more ways than one. And man, you know, life is too short and death is too certain to live unhappily, right? There's a difference. You know, happiness is a temporary emotion. But a lot of times, like if you're unhappy, it is a chronic condition. And I get it. And some people, of course, try to convince themselves they're unhappy to justify their negative behavior. I'm aware of that too. But there are people that are truly in a spot that they feel like they can't get out of. And I'm going to encourage you to reach out to somebody. And you know, we're a Better Help podcast. They sponsor the show. And I'm going to encourage you to reach out to them. You can have the discretion of having, you know, an online therapist rather than having to, you know, be seen somewhere in town and everybody's tracking your movements. And I've got, guys, I'll tell you, I got multiple people that have shared with me over the last couple of years. LifeLock 360 is like the bane of their existence. Because if they ever go anywhere, like, then they all of a sudden they get a phone call. Why are you there? What are you doing here? It's just no way to live, man. It's no way to live. And listen, there are a lot of you guys that have LifeLock 360 and it's for a safety feature. I get it. But man, if we're surveilling the people that we love, I don't know if that's love, man. I mean, that's my personal opinion. Maybe you see it differently. I want the bride to always choose me, right? Now, she chose me years ago when she took my name and my ring and all that good stuff. And you know, we set up a joint checking account and all of a sudden all the bills came in both of our names. She chose me then. But you know, when you're together, as long as you have to keep choosing each other, because there's going to be things that happen in life. And I hope she always chooses me. And that's the reality of my existence. I don't want her to ever be with me because she feels trapped. Ever. I want her to wake up every day. And maybe it's not a conscious decision. Maybe it's something that she's already kind of decided in her mind that I'm just going to keep choosing Steve. Because I'm going to keep choosing her. Right? And, you know, circumstances change in life. I understand. But wouldn't it be great, though, if you had somebody that was constantly choosing you rather than somebody that was constantly surveilling you, making you feel like a prisoner rather than a partner? That's brutal, man. Like, I saw something earlier. I hope I can get it all right. It's like really the only things that I want in life is a safe life. A love I never have to question, and a peace I never have to ask for, right? Those are three things. Like, I think that to live in a safe home and to have somebody that has a true commitment to you and to just have a peace that, you know, you never really have to protect, it's incredible. All right, enough preaching for today. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up my friend, Roy Samanti, on X at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. You can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Stark Billion institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. And why? Well, they got a lot of stuff we want, right? When it's gift buying time in your life, just take care of all the bulldogs you know just by checking out Campus Bookmart. You know, you can get a gift for anybody in the Mississippi State family that they'll love at Campus Bookmart. Whether it's apparel, decorative items, things for the home, the office, the RV, or your pet, you can find something with a Mississippi State logo on it at Campus Bookmart to fulfill that need. Stop by and see their smiling faces the next time you're in Starkville. I get a complimentary hug when I go in there. Maybe that's just me. Don't lean in first. But if they offer it, then take it, right? That's how it works. You know, last thing you want is please get called. But not enough that kind of people. But if you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet, at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. And it is a working promo code. I used it just last week. I praised them on the show about how quickly they got my order processed and delivered up there to Northwest Arkansas to my lovely grandkids. Maybe it's time for you to spoil your grandkids a little bit, too, with some new Mississippi State merch. Get something for yourself, too. You deserve it. You put up with a lot of nonsense. Least you can do is have some new game wear when you head out to Davis-Wade Stadium or the Humphrey Coliseum here this semester. Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. All right. We did have a chance to speak with Jeff Labby and a handful of players today. And you know, I wrote a column this morning, just things that I thought – in the wee hours of the morning, things that I thought would get discussed, five things. Four of the five did. The one that didn't was the backup quarterback, and I hope that we don't need to know. You know, the depth chart we already talked about. But at the end of the day, a lot of these things are fairly predictable. But I think it was Brian that asked, what's the line for you between preparedness and over-preparedness? I think that's a good question, just because of the fact you want guys to come out there and be confident, but you want them to play loose. You don't want them thinking too much. And when you over-prepare at times, that's really the case. All of a sudden, guys are out there thinking and second-guessing themselves and not just playing instinctively. Leb says, I don't think about being too prepared. In fact, the first thing we talked about today was confidence come from being prepared. And that's all three phases. Walking down that ramp Saturday night, being prepared is what it's all about. Preparation creates confidence. That's got to be advantage us, how we do what we do. It's been a good start to the prep. Yeah, end of quote. And so what's interesting to me about that is it's not just what he said, but it's how he said it. You can go watch the video for free over at jeanspage.com and just kind of see exactly. You know, Lebby looks confident to me. And there have been times in the past, and I know that Lebby is kind of an internal optimist. He is one of those people that is very much a glass half full type person. And sometimes that's an issue, right? I mean, sometimes you can be a little bit too optimistic and not really understand where you are. But I thought the grace that he showed during that 2-10 season back in 24 said a lot about him as a coach. But when we talk to him these days, there just seems to be a genuine confidence. Not just a confidence in himself, but a confidence in him, in his staff, and a confidence in his roster. It's the best roster, and I would argue the best staff that he's had since he's been here. And I think that's something that gives everybody confidence, right? I mean, when you've got great coaches and you've got great players and you've got a great scheme, you ought to go have a great season. And that's the hope for us. Even though a lot of people outside of Starkville don't think much of us, and I love what Isaac Smith had to say about that. We don't really care what everybody else says, nor should we. It's not an opinion poll. There's a reason we're going to play the games. One of the things that I brought up was, Louisiana Monroe has a brand new offensive coordinator. They have a new defensive coordinator, though he has had some extensive experience as a DC, and he knows their personnel because he was there last year. Last year's DC got elevated to the assistant head coach and is over the corners, and then they promoted their linebackers coach, Coach Reffitt, to be the DC. So a lot of the tape you saw last year really doesn't apply to this year because they're going to do different things formationally, and there's probably some things schematically they'll do different. Every play caller is a little bit different, so tendencies are a little different. But you just go back and look and see what they've always done. And you go back to that JUCO film. And you go back and see what he liked to call in certain situations. That's why you got so many analysts, right? On the defensive side, you figure there's going to be maybe an air of familiarity with some of that staff too. Because, you know, those guys were on staff together last year. And even though there's been an influx of personnel, especially in the corners room and up front, you know, you just feel like You know, a leopard doesn't change their spots very often. You may change your personnel, but by and large, you kind of do what you do. And Coach Raffitt's been doing this since 1990, right? So it's not like he's a new buck. I mean, you got plenty of tape to pull and kind of check out and figure those things out. But here's what Leb had to say. We try to look at it from a personnel standpoint, who we think they're going to be. They have some really talented running backs and a receiver who had production last year. I would imagine there'll be a run-first football team. I don't know that, but as we get into it, we will get a feel for who they are. The last 3 weeks of the season and the changes they made with the tree of Rocky Long, similar from a system standpoint is Zach. So there is familiarity there. Week one, you really don't know. As we get in-game, having the ability to make adjustments and execute those adjustments, right? End of quote. An important part of it, right? And again, I agree exactly what Lebby's saying here. I mean, you can do a bunch of research, and your personnel kind of dictates a little bit of your play calling, you know, because you want to play to your strengths, right? And as we've mentioned, we feel like they're the right side of their offensive line. We feel like that's going to be pretty good. So likely going to see a lot of maybe inside gap, some zone read at times. You know, I think they're going to want to control the clock if they can. That's why it's so important to win on first down. But this whole thing, and again, I've done a little research myself on Raffitt, but he's run a lot of 3-4. But they do a lot of the same concepts, you know, with the slants and things like that, that Zach Arnett does. And so I think that, again, like Leb says, it gives you that air of familiarity because you've practiced against that for the better part of a year. Not going to be a lot of surprises. Now, everybody has some opponent-specific fires and pressures and things like that. So there will be some things based on what they've seen from us. But I don't know that you want to blitz Kamario Taylor. Okay, if you could get it clean off the edge and get him on the blind side, yeah. But I don't think you want to blitz right up the middle, right in his face, because he's basically as big as your defensive end, right? And so keeping Kamario in the pocket, I think, will be job one for them. But I just don't think that they're going to be able to avoid sending pressure just because athletically they're just not going to be able to match up on the outside. Now, as we mentioned the other day, they do have Brandon Bulkhalter, who's a guy who was committed to Mississippi State way back in 2020. And he's bounced around a good bit. He has. But it's interesting to note, you know, that's a guy that's got SEC talent. He's had a lot of injuries, too. You know, he had that horrific injury against Arkansas when he played at UAB. His helmet came flying off, and he got hit helmet to head and was basically out for the remainder of the year. And you hate that. He is a quality young man. He had some poor advisors, but which is why he's at his fourth school in, you know, 6 years. But nevertheless, that's a guy that, you know, has SEC size and skill, and when he's healthy, he's done some interesting things. But he's had a tough time staying healthy. You know, Trujillo is another guy too that actually you know, has some familiarity with the offense and with Aiden Armenta. So they've got a couple of pieces on the receiver tree that we're going to have to be mindful of, but I just think that we're going to be able to run a lot of base defense and probably be successful because the talent differential is so favors Mississippi State. And then when you get in those third and long situations, you can have a little fun. But I think we're going to be fairly vanilla in this game because we don't want to tip off Minnesota and South Carolina. And let me kind of talk a little bit about that too. Somebody asked him about, you know, kind of what are your goals, right? Like last year, he worked through that kind of extensively. You know, he said, okay, you know, we want to win the opener. We want to have a winning season. We want to go to a bowl game. You know, we got to win an SEC game. He had a whole list of these goals. And somebody asked him today, you know, about do you have similar goals as you had last year? And he just felt like, no, we don't. You know, we want to go win the opener. You know, that's correct. We just want to go win the opener. That's all of our energy. And that's the focus right now, right? And then we'll worry about Minnesota next week. He did confirm that Jed Jefferson is going to start. Of course, we went over the depth chart, so that's kind of been confirmed. Another question, you know, at the beginning of the camp, he said we want to have 8 or 9 guys on the offensive line that we feel comfortable can play winning football. And like, it seems like every week it's like, okay, well, we have 5. Now we have 6. Now we have maybe 6.5, 7. It's like, hey, what, you know, how do you feel now? did you find those 8 or 9 guys? Leb says, I feel good about 7. I feel strongly about 8. We have to continue to create depth in that room. Our first, I have confidence, can play winning football. End of quote. And really, that's been the story and maybe the worry of every Mississippi State fan over the course of the last year, is what's this offensive line going to look like, right? We went and invested a ton of money in rebuilding really both sides of the line of scrimmage. But the offensive piece is the one you're worried about the most, because let's be honest, you had a couple of offensive line snafus last year that cost us games. I mean, you go back and think about that Tennessee game, and as one astute Jeans Page reader pointed out earlier, that Tennessee game turned when Albert Reese got injured. That's not Albert's fault for getting injured, and congratulations to him for making the Carolina Panthers 53-man roster. Yeah, it's great news, but it changed. And, of course, as we mentioned, we're driving down to put that game away, and next thing you know, we give up a blindside sack, and it's a scoop and score. We end up losing the game in overtime. That one play determined the game. If we just kind of get in the way a little bit, even if we throw an incompletion there, we're not giving up a defensive touchdown. So that play costs us the game. And again, it never really boils down to one play, but in hindsight, you can look back and say, yeah, that was the turning point. That was the turning point, that particular play, right? I mean, just like we can say in Texas, like, we're playing Texas and they're just throwing a ball up for grabs and we hit Arch Manning late on the sidelines and reignite the drive. They go down and score. Next thing you know, they're in the game. If we don't hit the quarterback there, guess what? That ball falls incomplete. We got the ball back right around midfield with a 3-score lead. Turning point in the ball game, right? And now, while that's not an offensive line snafu, which is kind of the point that I'm making, is that in some respects, it's frustrating, but also, too, it also kind of reiterates the fact how much progress that we made last year is that you can point to one play determining the game. Back in 2024, there was about, a couple quarters determine games rather than just one individual play. And if we can make those plays this year, we can have a much better year. That's what we're all shooting for, right? And we got a little problem in the transcript here. I'm trying to get somebody to fix that too. But I asked him a little bit about Eddie Kelly too. We signed him late. And again, we can't expect anything from that. And I guess the question you guys have too, like that Miles McVay thing, that all that's been handled in-house, as we expected. So Miles McVay got a speeding ticket. Some people, wanted him to walk down Main Street, ringing a bell, with somebody hollering shame behind him. But no, we're not going to do that. It's handled. But updating on Eddie Kelly. Coach says he's going through the process right now. Eddie was the right one for us because he's played a lot of football, 1,200 snaps, South Florida, Georgia Tech, Missouri, West Virginia. Played at all 4 places, a guy who's played a bunch of ball. 4 different places in 4 years, got his degree, good GPA. He's pretty serious about this opportunity, excited about him joining us. We'll see where he lands going forward, end of quote. Now, as we've discussed a couple times, we got to wait and see how all these hearings shake out. And so the thing about it is, if we don't get him, we haven't really lost anything. If we get him, it's like adding a free agent, right here in the middle of the season. And again, it's going to probably take him a month. And it's like, so he doesn't have his hearing until September the 8th. Okay, well, we're going to play a football game September the 5th. And then we're going to get ready to go to Minnesota. And so you can't count on him then, because I think even if he got the preliminary injunction granted on the 8th, they started hearing arguments in the Wisney case in the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals on the 11th. So you're probably going to hold him out through that, right? And so then that takes you into week 3. There's no guarantee you're going to get an answer that week. And, of course, the SEC dress list is a little bit lighter. And so it's probably going, I would say, probably the earliest you could see him, if we get favorable rulings within the court system, and it's going to take 2, if not 3, is Missouri. I think that's the soonest we could possibly see him. Now, I may be wrong. I've been wrong before. But I think based on the timing of all this, because you don't want to get an injunction and say, okay, yeah, he's good to go, to go play on September 12th at Minnesota. And then the day before, they have the hearing and they come back later and maybe they reverse the lower court's ruling, which erases the 5-for-5 across the country. That's the last thing you want. So we're going to be careful, you know. But again, it's going to take a couple of court rulings at least before he's able to see the field. And again, I think the soonest is Missouri, if that. And if not, we'll be okay either way. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. But, you know, if you just want the whole place to yourself, you can have that too. That may be fun too. I just think, you know, the more the merrier when you do something like that. Whether it's a ball game weekend or perhaps a work retreat or something, they've got plenty of room to accommodate you. Yeah, it's true. 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths. I think that'll be ready to go for the season. I don't know. I'll double check. But here's the thing. It's open 365 days a year. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will pop up, and you can peruse pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest, like the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, plenty of parking, of course. We've stayed there, had a great time. I slept in that downstairs bedroom with a king-size bed. It was great. Great! It was just so nice to have everybody under one roof. I hope we get to do it again soon. Now, when you do that Google search, some booking options are going to appear too. You can work through Airbnb or Vrbo, but if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. I'm sure you do want to save money. Book to the Evolve website, use promo code BSR10, that's BSR10, to get 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, you get a discount at the premium place to stay in the Golden Triangle. And again, they're open 365 days a year. Be sure and check out their booking options today. All right, some big news coming in. We'll get to some ULM stuff before we get out of here. But there's been a verdict in the Tupac Shakur murder case. It's like been 30 years, man. Yeah, and the guy, of course, that admitted that he arranged it or orchestrated it was found guilty. Shocking, right? And his defense team said, oh, you can't believe that. You can't believe our client. That stuff wasn't true. You know, he was just clout chasing. Prosecution says, this guy's been saying for 17 years he killed Tupac Shakur. Maybe it's time we believe him. So, yeah, cool stuff there. And then got a text that there may be a shakeup at East Mississippi Community College football. How about that? Don't know any of the details of it. I'm hearing that Buddy Stevens may be out. And one thing I'll tell you, Buddy's been great with me. Listen, not always the best about returning attacks, but, man, when we've had players down there, he's always been very accommodating for me. And, you know, so you hate to hear that, but, man, that could be the end of an era, right? I mean, wild. Again, don't know all the details. I am told there's not, like, a scandal or anything like that. So I don't want anybody to go like chase rabbits because once the word gets out, it gets all over Facebook and you get these Facebook detectives, you know, well, I heard this and I heard that. I'm told it's nothing unscrupulous. So that's what I'm told. So we'll see how that plays out. Let's jump into some Louisiana Monroe stuff. Coach Bryant Vincent met with the media today about 11:15. A little bit after Jeff Lebby and players got done at Mississippi State. Again, we had 4 players today. We've got 3 of those 4 articles already written. Anthony Evans will go up in the morning, but all those videos are available for your perusal for free at jeanspage.com. We don't need your email address. You can just go, you know, pull up the website, go Google Jeans Page, click the link, scroll down to feature videos, and you can watch all those videos. And, we just do that for everybody. You know, all the big room stuff, if everybody else has it, we're not going to put it behind a paywall. I mean, come on. Right? What's the point doing that? You don't do it that way. But nevertheless, one thing I'll tell you about Coach Vincent, I like the way the guy carries himself. And when he was, working his way up the ranks, you know, won a state championship back in, 2011, 2010? With Spanish Fort. When he first got there, they were awful. And then 4 years later, he wins a state championship. And then he gets involved with college coaching. and has worked his way up. And, I'm kind of rooting for them. Not against us, obviously, but after we beat them, I'm looking forward to kind of seeing what they do. And I liked Marcus Ross. I really did. Speaking of East Mississippi, transferred here from East Mississippi and then got hurt. We were expecting some big things from him, but that doesn't work out. But he's a guy that can do some interesting things. A guy can really run. And this Noah Fleming's guy, you're going to have a chance to kind of see him. That guy is a really good player too. And so, first team all Sun Belt. But, he talked about how excited he was. It's an opportunity. And as we've mentioned before, too, they're going to have 6 home games this year, and we are the only Power 4 opponent they play. So if they're going to make a bowl game, and listen, they're picked dead last in their division, right? So expectations are not high for them. But they have a schedule that is somewhat workable. And again, we previewed them before too, and we'll talk a little more about them on Wednesday show as we get closer to the weekend. But it's so interesting, they had Ahmad Hardy a year before, had a really good year. Last year, they didn't have him. They didn't have a great year. Had to rebuild that running back room. And again, I just, maybe some guys will emerge and do a good thing for them. But if I'm Bryant Vincent, I'm going to tell my guys, listen, I know how to go down there and win a game at Starkville, Mississippi. Now, granted, it was a day game, the Dan Mullen shorts game, because he was the offensive coordinator at South Alabama when they beat us in 16. So he'll have that he can share. And again, it was our fault for blowing that game. But all that I understood, when you begin to kind of work through all this stuff, from a coaching standpoint, your players, many of them have never even played in a Division I football game. Got a lot of transfers up from the FCS and the junior college ranks. They've never played a D1 game. And then they got to deal with you and your cowbells and your voice and a very talented Mississippi State football team. But he said, hey, the bottom line is that we see it as an opportunity. We're excited about it. And I think one of the things that he points out, too, is a great one. This is going to be the most talented team that they play all year on their schedule. Again, we're the only Power 4 opponent. So they're going to come in here. It's going to be a night game. You guys are so ready to win a football game. Kamario Taylor is 0-2 as a starter, right? So you want to root for that too. And we want to win going away. But he makes a good point too that, this will get them ready for other road games. They won't have a road environment like this the rest of the year. And here's this quote. I think anytime you can experience this is critical. If you don't know, you really don't know. We can sit there and show you pictures and we can show you videos. Until you're in that moment, in that game, and on that field, it's hard to really emulate. We do it the best we can, obviously, in practice. It's just hard to emulate. Anytime you can be in those environments, it just hardens you and it helps you. It helps you prepare for other road games. End of quote. That's the best way to look at this thing. It's like, hey, chances are we're not going to win this football game, but how can we better our football team? How can we use this experience to be better? And again, you think about those guys that are playing their first ever D1 football game. Everything the rest of the year is easier than what you faced in the first game. There's no question about it. They're going to be in some competitive games, obviously, in the Sun Belt. But they're not going to play a team like this. They're not going to play in an atmosphere like this, under the lights with the LED lights and the chasing fireworks and the music. It's going to be hell for Louisiana Monroe. And listen, they may be one of the worst teams in D1 football. Honest to goodness. When you begin to look at the construction of this roster, you begin to kind of wonder where they're going to get wins from. Well, the one thing is they have an experienced quarterback. He redshirted at New Mexico when Vincent was there as the offensive coordinator. Then when Vincent got the job at Louisiana Monroe, he transferred with him. He split time in year one, but it became the primary, signal caller late in the year. He was the definitive starter last year. So he enters this year not looking over his shoulder. That's going to help him. But as we've mentioned, You know, this is a team that wants to run the football, and I just don't know with that patchwork offensive line and a running back room that you're going to have a lot of guys that have really never encountered anything quite like this. I mean, Don Chaney had done some decent things at Miami. He wasn't great, and he missed all of last year with an injury there at running back. But, you know, we'll see how that thing kind of plays out. But it's just so interesting to me. Like, everybody's motivation is different in these games. Like, obviously, they need the check, right? But Brian Vincent, when you watch his press conferences, there is just kind of an air of confidence with him, right? But I don't think he's deluding himself into thinking they're going to come in here and beat Mississippi State. I think he's looking at this as a teachable moment for his football team to prepare them for the rest of the season. Is that understood? They get in the game early, and all of a sudden you get a score and get a turnover, and you guys start believing a little bit. And you lock in, you start thinking, okay, coaches, let's lead me through it. I just think in the end, the talent differential is so incredibly in favor of Mississippi State, it's going to be next impossible. We're going to help them a lot in order for them to win this football game. And of course, State's favored by 28.5. That's the big question everybody says. Steve, you think we're going to cover? I do. And the closer we get to the weekend, we'll talk more in depth about that. But I feel like they will try to shorten the game to kind of keep things from getting away. Because, I mean, you don't want to come in here and give up 50 points. You don't want that at all. If you get beat 35-3, then you get beat 35-3. You don't want to get beat 57-4, which would be almost impossible without a couple of safeties. But you understand my point. You don't want to come in here. You spent the entire spring and the offseason trying to build belief in your system, in your coaching staff, in your teammates. And the last thing you want is to see everything that you tried to instill for the better part of 9 months get thrown out the window because guys are like, I can't believe in this staff. Look at these guys. We're not prepared to win this game. So I think if you're a coach, especially in year three, when you've had back-to-back losing years, you know, and you're trying to get bowl eligible and you got a favorable schedule, you can't have your team quit on you in week one. And I think he's a good enough coach where that's probably not going to be the case. But, man, the psyche of those players sometimes is a bit fragile. But let's be honest. When you got guys like Fleming's a linebacker, very talented Mike linebacker, and you've got A.J. Vinson, those guys, what they're trying to do is put some quality play on tape for NFL scouts. So they're going to give you their best effort. They're competitors. They want to win. But even if there's some separation in the game, those guys are going to continue to play hard just because of the fact they're trying to get to the next level. And so if this is the best team I'm going to play all year, I need to play my best game. I need to go out there and show the NFL scouts that, yeah, I can compete with SEC players. The SEC leads the draft every year and players drafted. I'm just as good as those guys, right? They're going to want to meet Fluff head on up in the A-gap and try to knock him backwards and put that tempo in their highlight reel. That's what they want, right? And then you've got, of course, you know, Marcus Ross had played here and things didn't work out. You know, he's going to be motivated to play. Brandon Buckhalter, of course, is a guy that has really not done a lot in his four seasons on the college level. A chance to come home, and you got friends coming up from Hartfield Academy and Jackson Metro area. You're going to play well, you know. All of that is important stuff, right? Every bit of it is important stuff. And so I shared that just because everybody's motivation for this game is going to be a little bit different. We want to go win it, get out of there healthy, and if we can cover along the way, then great. You're not going to be able to tell a lot about your team this week. I think we find a lot about our team next week. I mean, of course, if we lose the game and look bad doing so, then, you learn a lot about your team. But this is one that we've penciled in as a dub for some time. And now it's time for us to go kind of get the thing done. But I can tell you there is a different air in the building at Seal Complex. Not just about this game, but just about, number one, we're excited to go play a real game. And again, it feels like forever. Even though we played in the bowl game back January 2nd, man, it feels like forever since we played football. And of course, we didn't get a lot of night games last year. We don't have a lot set to be scheduled this year. And so you need to come take advantage of that opportunity to come enjoy all the amenities that we've added over the course of the last couple of years. And sound system is still something we're kind of working through. But yeah, I mean, it's a great time. It's a great chance to bring the family a night game. It's an exciting environment. And again, Mississippi State's expected to win and win handily. So visit the Mississippi State ticket office at healthstate.com/tickets. I see a lot of people in the Facebook groups like already asking, where can I get tickets? I want to come this weekend. Do not get scammed. There's zero chance of getting scammed if you buy your tickets through Mississippi State. Zero. I know, well, I want to get a deal. Yeah, you may get one, all right. Yeah, you may get one. You may get dealt with, right? So there are plenty affordable tickets available, some in the lower bowl, some in the upper deck. There is something for every price point. And again, you order through HealthState.com. If there's any problem whatsoever, your ticket people can handle it. You buy from a third-party vendor, it may not be that simple. And certainly if you buy from some individual, you may cash out the money and never get your tickets. So no worries when you buy through HealthState.com. And we'll have some more game day information for you later in the week. But it's always safe and smart to buy tickets directly from Mississippi State. That is always the best route to go. Now, if you hadn't done so, visit DutyNobleBook.net. It's a little bit of a change. DutyNobleBook.net. I had somebody the other day that couldn't get on. They figured out how to get in, and we got it all handled. But DutyNobleBook.net, and go buy all my sports titles. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, The Dude, and, of course, the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. I got another message over the weekend about that book from somebody in St. Louis, Missouri, of all places. And I appreciate it so much. A lot of people have bought that book, read it, and passed it on to somebody else in recovery, or they bought it for somebody in recovery or somebody that needs to be. And those are a lot of the people that I hear from. And one of the best messages I've ever gotten about that book is I had a lady message me. Somebody bought it for her. She has a daughter in active addiction. And she said, I understand my daughter a lot more after reading this book. I kind of understand. And so instead of me being angry, I feel a little more empathetic. And that's one of the reasons you write stuff like that, right? And so maybe that's something that could benefit you as well. You don't have to be in recovery to enjoy a good comeback story, though. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Every time I go somewhere now, people say, hey, we floated or we want to come float. Tell us all about it. Guys, I can tell you all about it, but the best thing to do is go experience it for yourself. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to the bride herself, and she can tell you everything you need to know, or you can visit TrueRest.com. You can download the True Rest app and just book online. We do want you to be there 30 minutes early for your first float, but the best bet is call Dana, 662-268-7601. And then come join us over at Gene's page. Again, 60% off the annual subscription price through the month of August. And this is the last day of August. Many of you will listen to this, and I think it's going to run through September 2nd. I think that's right. But, yeah, you can get 60% off the annual subscription price and get the best coverage in Mississippi State sports history available to you on a daily basis. And nobody does more. Guys, next month we're celebrating our 30th birthday. This is our 31st football season to cover. So we've been there and done that. And in 2028, we'll get a chance to go to Oklahoma to watch Mississippi State play there. And that'll be all 16 teams. We've done all the rest of them. We've been everywhere else. And but those are the things that kind of still keep us going, a new experience in a new town. And we want you to come enjoy that with us as well. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.